Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Thinking Out Research podcast. This is our monthly podcast in which we go over our most recent report. Thinking Out Research is a culturally integrated market research agency. We integrate Hispanic, African-American, and Asian insights into custom market research for companies and government agencies looking to thrive in a changing demographic environment. You can find us on the web at thinkingoutresearch.com and on Twitter at thinkingouttweets. My name is Mario Carrasco, managing partner of Thinking Out Research, and excited to introduce our guest today, Pepper Miller. Pepper Miller is a research strategist, thought leader, and Black American subject matter expert. She founded the Hunter Miller Group in 1995, Chicago-based leading edge market research and strategic firm. Since then, she's been helping Fortune 500 companies better understand and positively engage Black America. Pepper's blog for Forbes, Advertising Age's Big Tent, and enjoys engaging and mentoring young professionals at monthly chat and chews in her homes. Welcome, Pepper.
Hey, thank you, Mario. I'm happy to be here. Thank you very much.
Excited to have you as our first guest. This month, we're going to be going into our report, delving into African-American millennials and their media and tech usage habits, which is why we're really excited to have a subject matter expert like Pepper. We're going to be exploring the impact of culture on the millennial consumption of media, technology, and entertainment, of course, with a focus on African-American millennials. So we'll be discussing the reports available at no cost on thinkingoutresearch.com in our download section. Feel free to pause the podcast now and download. Otherwise, Pepper and I will do our best to explain the data that we're discussing. So we're going to jump right in here for those of you watching the video, a little bit on the methodology. This is actually an ongoing research project that we did from 2015 to 2016. What we're looking at today, we actually took a representative sample of Hispanic millennials, Hispanics 35 plus, non-Hispanic white millennials, Asian millennials, and of course, African-American millennials, each with a base size of 300. So a nice big stable base size here. There's a lot of intro on kind of framing millennials in the beginning, but we're going to jump right into the data here, slide 14, where we start at looking at mobile device consumption. So an interesting trend happening here regarding watching TV through your mobile device. So the question that we ask, which of the following have you done in the past 7 days on your mobile phone? And African-American millennials at the top there, 48%, almost 50% of African-American millennials have watched TV through their mobile device in the past 7 days. Close behind there, Hispanic millennials at 43. And then we see a drop and non-Hispanic white and Asian millennials. Pretty interesting data, Pepper. I mean, what do you think is driving some of this?
Well, this makes sense, Mario, because it's in alignment with African Americans over-indexing with watching television, period, and also how African Americans over-index with smartphone usage. The other piece of this, which is interesting, is the importance of being early adopters and badge value. And I will probably repeat that again. Badge value is this old, kind of an old school term, but it's very, very real for African Americans. It's so important for us to, to be first with technology, first with cutting edge. So watching TV on the smart, watching television as we do anyway, over indexing and watching it on a smartphone as we do, where that over indexes makes sense. And the fact that we are doing this says something about us being early adapters and the first ones to come or have bragging rights, if you will, on technology. So this makes perfect sense. It's very much in alignment with what the research that we talk about and the work that I talk about in my books. So it's great.
Yeah. And I like that. I mean, I like that because so much of the conversation is always dominated about how Hispanics over-index, right? And we tend to forget African Americans are trendsetters. And then this data, clearly points You know, that African Americans are more likely to be watching TV through a mobile device. Even, you know, Hispanic millennials are closer behind, but you have almost 50%. So I like that idea of badge value.
Yeah. This has been going on. It's interesting. There's a lot of emphasis is on the Hispanic population because they are growing rapidly, but African Americans have long been early adapters, you know, long early adapters, and have been long time over-indexing with watching television and going to the movies, as we'll talk about a little bit later. So that's a good point that you brought up, too, as well, about the focus being on the Hispanic market. So, good.
Yeah. I'm going to move to the next slide here, but
yeah.
One of the things that I think also kind of a hypothesis I think plays into that is that, you know, African Americans, you know, very active on social. And so, you know, watching TV through your phone allows you to multitask. You know, if you're watching something and something interesting and exciting happens on TV, you can switch to Twitter and tweet about it. So it's much more, I don't know, I guess interactive than just like sitting down and just watching television kind of traditionally, right?
Yeah, that's a really excellent point, too. And because, as some of your audience may know or may not know about Black Twitter, it is a movement. It's not a thing or a place necessarily, but it's more of a movement where more Black people, particularly millennials, follow each other on Twitter. So there is constant engagement and constant activity on Black Twitter, and it's powerful because it can, this is where a lot of discussions about brands take place, as well as celebrities and lifestyle. So it can create wonderful positive activity with a brand, or it can take a brand down, as we have seen in some instances like Paula Deen and other brands as well.
Yeah.
So that's a really, really good point.
Yeah, and to that point, right, I mean, looking at celebrity gossip, right, what dominates online, whether we like it or not, celebrity gossip.
Yes.
And so we asked here, you know, again, which of the following have you done in the past 7 days? African-American millennials most like to stay informed on celebrity gossip, 30%. Here, Hispanics and non-Hispanic white millennials a little bit closer, the 28-27%. Asian millennials at the bottom at 20%. And like you mentioned, this is again, you know, in line with what you're talking about, Pepper, you know, Black Twitter is a big driver of celebrity gossip. I mean, a lot of the time Black Twitter is breaking the news to the rest of Twitter, right?
Absolutely. That does happen. And I was surprised that this number, this 30% wasn't higher, too, Mario. One of the things that we've seen in other research, too, is there are these closeted watchers as well, people who are a little bit more exposed and more worldly, higher income, higher education, also millennials as well, but who are watching these programs, particularly reality TV and a lot of the celebrity gossip as well, but they're now defining it as their guilty pleasure. So it's not just, there's a perception in with marketers and among the African American audience that celebrity gossip is just occurring among working class African Americans, and that's not true. So it probably is somewhere higher.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and I'm guilty of it. You're probably not gonna, you know, if someone asks you on a survey, you know, I mean, and even, you know, it, for whatever reasons, males, I would assume, feel, you know, like they don't want to report that they stay on top of it. But, you know, if you're on the internet, you're looking at some celebrity gossip, right? Whether you like
Absolutely.
It or not. Maybe that's why it's down a little bit. People, that's the type of thing people don't want to report on.
Absolutely. And that's that political correctness factor that African Americans, and I do think a lot of multicultural audiences, Latinos, Asian, and LGBT, being politically correct, we have to always consider that factor, because a constant part of the experience for the multicultural audience is countering negative stereotypes. So those numbers across the board could be higher for all of them, particularly for the African-American market.
That's true. No, that's definitely true. Moving to the next slide, and for those of you following along, we're on slide 16. Here we start to see more similarities. So we asked about movie applications. So, you know, movie applications on your phone, we are a little bit different than television. And interestingly here, African-American and Hispanic millennials right on par at 40%. And both of them are the highest likelihood out of the four millennial groups, so out of the white millennials and Asian millennials, to use movie applications. I think you know, one of the things that was interesting to me, Pepper, is that TV, watching TV through your mobile phone, much more popular than watching movies. I think that's not necessarily a black thing or Hispanic thing. It's just kind of where we see media. TV, we're seeing really a kind of a renaissance of television.
Yes, absolutely. That's true. It's a good, that's an excellent point. I can't even add any more to that.
You know, movie applications, I think also the question's a little, for millennials, may not make sense because, you know, TV and movies are kind of blurred. Like, you have Netflix and Hulu. Both of them show television. Both of them show movies. So even in the definition of there, I guess TV and movie is even becoming blurred. So, and I think that's just more a technological shift happening.
Yes. But it still speaks to the 40% each for Hispanic and African American, still the importance of, you know, being connected and having a phone watching the movies. It'll be interesting. Obviously, it's a little different, but 40% is still a good number. They're still a pretty high number.
And to point where there's similarities, you know, one thing I wanted to bring up, you know, you're talking about African American being trendsetters, and a lot of the time, you know, the metro areas where we see high concentration of Hispanic and African American, they're the groups most likely to be bumping into each other. So I think you see a lot more similarities there than you do, you know, with the other cohorts, just because of, you know, the concentration of the populations are similar.
Right. I think, too, I took this question kind of a different way. I was thinking movies, application, the show movies, theater movies going.
Oh,
so
right.
I kind of took that question the wrong, you know, out of the wrong context. So good. So we can go into digital product usage.
Yeah, and this is, you know, Pepper and I had a call before this, and this was one of, I think, the most interesting conversations we had. Here we were talking about operating system and the big, you know, fight happening between Android and Apple. And I think there's some really interesting data in terms of adoption among the different cohorts here. We see for African Americans, Android is easily the top operating system for millennial smartphone users. So all the way to the left, we have, you know, African Americans at 55%, and actually Hispanic and non-Hispanic white millennials tie at 53%, and the lowest Android adopters are Asians. And conversely, you know, Asians are the only ones that top the iOS. So across the board, Android is really winning the battle with Hispanics, non-Hispanic whites, and African Americans. I know that it's kind of timely we're talking about this today. The Note 7 has some problems with I don't know if you heard about that, Pepper, the phone catching fire, but yeah, the brand new phone. But barring that, you know, this we did the, you know, Android is winning. I mean, what, you had some interesting thoughts about why you thought Android was popular among African American millennials.
And you did too. I was surprised that the Apple brand was, because it has a lot of badge value across the board nationwide, and I thought that it might have that same badge value for African Americans, maybe among those who use it. Definitely, I probably perceive that for Asians. But I think that what we were talking about earlier about in terms of having relationships, I don't think Apple does have a relationship with the African-American community. I did have a client to tell me that Blacks don't buy Apple because they're poor, that's why they buy Android. But it's, you know, it's not that. If there's a brand that they believe they have a relationship or reflects them or reflects their lifestyle, that's what badge value is about. It helps confirm or create the value that a particular individual or community wants to project. But I do know that Samsung has a relationship with the African American community. They've done advertising with them. They've done events with this community. Yes, I do think maybe some of the data operating, the data costs are cheaper, but the phones itself are not necessarily that inexpensive. So right. I think it's about building up, having a relationship with them, having a phone that's easier to operate. I think for a long, long time, Samsung had a bigger phone than Apple. Remember, Apple's just now catching up with this, with the larger phone, with the 6, but Samsung long had that. And I think that was attractive to the African American audience. Again, being an early adapter, the size, easy to use, being able to watch television, movies, texting, all of that technology was available to the African American market. So I do think it's about convenience. I also think it's about relationship, and I do think it's about the early adapter technology that the Samsung phones provide the African American community with, the particular bragging rights.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And as you were talking, I thought of something that I didn't connect in our previous conversation was, you know, you're talking about relationship. And I think Apple made one of the biggest acquisitions last year buying Dr. Dre's Beats, right? And so I think they realized, right, that they don't have that relationship. So if you can't win them, buy them, right? So they bought this one of the biggest brands in terms of, you know, African American appeal. And of course there's the halo effect. Everybody likes Dr. Dre's Beats, but it's really an African American brand. So that acquisition shows that you're right. You know, there is something there. They realized, I think, that they hadn't built that relationship. So they tried to make a strategic acquisition.
Right. Right. That was a good point. That was $1 billion, wasn't it?
That was $1 billion.
It was a billion or more acquisition. That's true. And that has been pretty, pretty popular. So the beat goes on with the beat, but I'm not sure
right. If
that's translating to the phone, to the iPhone.
To the phone. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah. They're, Apple's all about building those ecosystems where in order to have Beats, you have to have the iPhone. I mean, and now, you know, they just announced that they're doing away with the audio jack. So there's definitely going to be the Beats. Well, there is. I think they have the special Beats Bluetooth iPhone. So, you know, we'll see if they try to get that badge value.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I'm an Apple user,
How did you feel about that? The audio jack being dropped from.
I do not like that, and you know I had some problems with my phone today, and I was thinking, oh, I might have to get a new phone. I mean, it worked out, but that is not attractive to me, not having an audio jack and having to spend $164. For the ear.
Headphone jacks.
Headphones, yeah, for the headphones. I mean, I think it's like $160.
That's
crazy. It is. No, because so the buds come with the phone and they're $30. And, you know, I'm pretty hard on buds because I'm wrapping them around. I keep them plugged in my phone all the time because I like talking with them. Probably not doing great for my hearing, but I do. But, and so if there's a problem with them within a year, you can take them back to the Apple store and they'll replace them. So this is what's been going on with me for years and years and years. So you want to take me. So now I have to spend I don't know. That doesn't work for me. I don't know. I'm rethinking, and I've got the Mac, I've got the, you know, the, the iPad. Yeah. I have a whole kit and caboodle, but I'm thinking about switching now because I don't know. That doesn't work.
That's a big war.
It is. $30 Buds. I mean, I paid $30 for Buds, but they come with my phone. So I don't know. Not a good move for Pepper Miller.
Yeah. So, moving on to the next slide here, not too much here on this slide, really. We wanted to see, these are activities that all millennials do. Use a search engine like Google or Yahoo, listen to music, watch a video, send a text, visit a social networking site, use an app, and really not too much different than how African Americans utilize their smartphone. It's a wide variety of tasks. They're Googling things, listening to music, watching videos. Something that stood out to me, it's not a big difference, but less likely to send a text to someone that they know. All I could think of there is maybe African Americans are more using apps like a WhatsApp or talking through Facebook or Twitter rather than text. I don't know. I mean, is there anything there, Pepper? I mean,
I was surprised to see that too. That number, which is a little lower. And maybe there are some new apps that they are using. I know when I text to some of my millennials, they don't always text back. They're not responding. So
yeah.
I'm not sure what that's about, if that's becoming old school. Definitely they're not using Facebook that much anymore, but maybe they are using some other chats. GroupMe, GroupMe is becoming, I think, is it GroupMe where you can have these chats, these individual chats with people inside the GroupMe app? Because that was one of the things that was becoming popular.
With African Americans. I haven't heard of that one.
Well, one of the things that we're finding is that this whole social media there's still a lot of little segregated spots in social media that marketers don't talk about, because we tend to congregate in places where there are others like us. And that's why we have Black Twitter, for example, or if you look at Facebook, if you look at my Facebook page, most of them are African Americans or whatever. But so these chats are happening. There's this GroupMe. There are these groups of people within these GroupMe chats, and a lot of them are, like, for example, there's African Americans in Chicago. There's a professional African American group within GroupMe, and there's about 150 of them, and they talk to each other. It provides a safe place for them to have conversations about things that affect them. They talk about work, they talk about travel, and they can bring their Black culture and their Black issues without being called out. And I do think someone has to bring you into that chat room. You just can't join. So it is almost like not a secret society, but I call it a safe space and a safe place. So that might be happening.
That's really interesting, because I actually jumped ahead, because you're did a great segue into the next where we dive into social media. But again, this is a narrative that African Americans are the trendsetters, right? Kind of out there finding, like you mentioned, these safe spaces, because, I mean, let's face it, there's lots of issues happening on social media in terms of harassment, right? And so, African Americans being trendsetters, finding something that's their safe space, eventually everybody finds it and they got to move on to something else. But
absolutely.
No, one thing I was doing some research, something unrelated. It looks like Google Hangouts too was a thing among African Americans. I was just doing some research and saw a lot of Google Hangouts happening for kind of the things that you were mentioning, people having talks about, African-American issues, and they can create Google Hangouts and talk and have a meeting online, but digitally. So, yeah, that's really interesting.
It is. It's growing. Mm-hmm.
And this data here, we see African-American millennials on par with other millennials in terms of hours per day on social media, so 2.6 hours. Mm-hmm. Same as non-Hispanic whites, and pretty much the same as Hispanic millennials, slightly more. They're spending 2.7 hours. Asian millennials, you know, this, we cut this deck on Asian a couple months back, and they're really kind of the outliers in a lot of senses with media and technology, right? They're more likely to have an iPhone, where everyone else is more likely to have an Android. They're, you know, spend the least amount on social media. So they're different in that perspective. But African-American millennials on par. And they're, you know, number of times that they're using their cell phone to update or check in with social media, they're on the high side, 4.3 times a day. That's on par with Hispanic millennials. And then Asian millennials, actually, they're checking it a lot, 4.1 times a day, just not spending a lot of hours on it. Right. And the non-Hispanic whites at 3.8. You know, not too much difference here on this slide. It's just, you know, African-American millennials are using social media in terms of time and checking in pretty much the same as the other cohorts. And that's the same for social networking apps, although African-American millennials a little bit lower in terms of using apps. But I think, Pepper, what you mentioned, you know, maybe these things like GroupMe, they're not considering it social media. Maybe it's like more chats or forums. So they're, you know, maybe looking at alternatives to social media.
Yes. Where there have been articles about social fatigue and social media. Again, the Facebook is down definitely with millennials, particularly African-American millennials as well. So one of the things that we learned is that people do use about 4 to 5 apps most. And I don't know, maybe people are wanting something new or looking for something new to engage in as what we were talking about earlier. So
no, and you're right. You know, that is a thing, right? I mean, because, you know, you mentioned social fatigue, and I think African Americans are experiencing, you know, levels of I mean, I just think of, you know, everything, that some things that happened in the Olympics, and, you know, Twitter, you know, changing some of its usage policy to eliminate harassment. Same with like Airbnb, even though that's not social, but, you know, that if companies are reacting, right, by creating policies to stop this sort of thing, that means that it's a real issue at that point, right? I think you hit the nail on the head. Something's happening there. So we'll see what other kind of trend emerges.
Yes.
And then here, you know, one of the things that we like to look at in terms of social media is, you know, are you out there creating content, or are you viewing content? And we see, like other millennials, you know, African Americans prefer to view other people's content rather than to post their own. However, we do see that they're more likely, well, not more likely, but, you know, just about the same as white millennials to be, you know, commenting and posting online. But I think in terms of I prefer to view other people's content than post my own, they're actually on the lower end at 59%, same with Hispanic. So I think African-American millennials and Hispanic millennials are the users out there that are generating this content. Even though it's a smaller percentage, they're driving those conversations. And like you mentioned Black Twitter, you know, the influence of Black Twitter, I think, is undeniable in terms of, you know, well, what's cool online, right? A lot of these things that we see, a lot of memes and trending topics originate from Black Twitter. And I think that points to it.
And also what's also happening too, and is there are a lot of new digital platforms, new media, Black digital platforms that are emerging probably every day, every week, every month at least, with content that is directed toward African Americans. I think one of the most popular ones that's been around maybe a year or two is Blavity, and it's grown
quite
a bit.
About them.
Yeah, right. Blavity is just growing out, you know, like crazy. So this question about the, you know, content, I don't know if people, I'm not sure if they're thinking creating a Blavity site or just responding to some content that's out here. I wasn't sure either.
No, mm-hmm. And you bring up a good point, because I think, you know, one of the other things that we were talking about before is that, you know, some of these questions that we ask, they're kind of the standard questions, but millennials and African-American millennials may look at it a little bit differently. Like, okay, what is commenting or posting online? We might be asking the wrong question, in other words, right? Because mm-hmm. sites like Blavity are kind of blurring the line. Is it social? Am I posting? Am I reading? Whose content is it? And actually, I think this week, actually, Blavity just got a big round of funding, which is why I heard about them. I heard it described as a black BuzzFeed. Is that
well, correct? I think they're more political, because BuzzFeed has a great amount of information around celebrities and gossip, do they not?
Yeah.
Whereas Blavity, they focus on political community. There's some interest in some celebrities, but they have news stories that are relevant. The person who created it, God, I can't think of her name, and I've talked to her. I mean, these are like college kids that created, because that's what happens with the black community, with black millennials. I think they start off thinking that they are equal, particularly those that go on to college when they're in high school, equal with others. And then they go to college and they see that there's this big difference. And that's when they discover, many of them, that they're black, and they hit the ceiling of inequality. Because a lot of people, when I talk to them about, Blavity is not just obviously one of the digital platforms. It's just one of the most popular ones that have grown. But there's Atlanta Black Star, and there's Madame Noir, and then there's all these black hair care sites, Curly Nikki, and all, I mean, oh my God. But all of them are talking about the same thing. They're having these conversations with the black community, and most of them started in college when they discovered that there was inequality, and that's what happened in Blavity. It's black gravity, Blavity. So there's tons and tons and tons of black digital platforms out there that have lots of followers, and they're putting out this content, and they're having all these conversations. I get Blavity's updates daily and share, and I comment on a lot of their stories as well. So I think these numbers, 59% is still a good number. I think one of the things that happens is where we start talking about what's happening with these platforms, or what's happening with this content, that adds to the story of your slide. I don't think that you're way off with your questions at all. It just raises other questions about what's happening, and it just gives you more opportunities with your next study. I think your questions are good.
Thank you. No, and I think this is a great spot for us to end. Believe it or not, I think we almost reached our half hour. There's a lot more to the study. So download it at thinknowresearch.com. We go into TV watching and entertainment and video games, which we didn't have time to go through. But I think that was a perfect place to end. Marketers listening, that I think we learned a lot about, you know, targeting African-American online really takes an understanding, right? I mean, sites like Blavity, you know, things that Pepper brought up, like GroupMe, where, you know, we assume we kind of lump millennials all in together, but reaching African-American millennials online really takes an understanding of how they're engaging with in content and where they're engaging with content. So I hope you learned a lot from listening to our podcast. Again, you can download the study, thinknowresearch.com. In our download section, you can find us at thinknowtweets. Pepper, if people want to find you online, can you share your website, your Twitter? I know you have a blog.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Pepper Miller. My website is huntermillergroup.com, and I've written two books, What's Black About It and Black Still Matters in Marketing, and you can buy those books at huntermillergroup.com or blackstillmatters.com or Amazon. So thank you so much, Mario. This was fun. I would love to do this again.
Great. No, thank you. We loved having you, and we'll definitely be inviting you back when we do another African-American research study. And thanks, everybody, for joining. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.